Welcome to part two of our recent popular webinar, What Metabolic Type Are You? Starring Martin Petella of the Life Enthusiast Co-op. We hope you enjoy it, get a lot of great information from it, and make sure you visit us at www.life-enthusiast.com.
The really important thing is the lymphatic circulation, and there is no pump for the lymphatic system. The only movement that the lymphatic fluids get is of the movement of your body against gravity. So it's, you know, when you're walking, it's the rise and fall of the center of the gravity. And there are a bunch of channels with baffles. So when you drop down, the fluid through the inertia stays in one place. And so when you bounce against the sidewalk, it closes the baffles, and the fluid stays 1 inch or 2 or 3 inches up. And then on your next step, again, it gets pushed up. It's that sort of shake and move, shake and move. So if you're not moving, you're not doing yourself much favor, I would say. In fact, I would say this, you know, a lot of the exercise machines, like the ellipticals or bicycles or the things where you sit and only move your legs, they're burning a lot of energy, but they're not doing you a lot of good when it comes to getting the lymphatics moving.
And so what's the function of the lymphatic system?
Okay. Well, you have, I have to give you an analogy. Think of an aquarium. In the aquarium, you have fish, and the fish are in the water. And if you think of the fish as your cells, an aquarium of all the fluids that these cells are washed in or surrounded by, you can start thinking that the fish get to eat the food that you put into the aquarium from the water, but they also poop in it. So both the nutrients and the toxins are in that same fluid. So if you somehow plug up the filtration pump or shut off the bubbler, it won't take too long before your aquarium is becoming toxic. So that's...
Right. That's a really good analogy. I think I've got this feeling of my body being like an aquarium, and then if I'm not moving stuff around, the water just gets grungier and grungier.
That's right. And then the last thing, you know, the electromagnetic stress. I mean, it's becoming more and more prevalent. You know, we used to have just a couple of appliances in the house 100 years ago. 200 years ago, there was no electricity at all. Now we're swimming in the soup of electromagnetic radiation, cell towers and Wi-Fi everywhere. And I think that the increasing levels of allergies, asthma, autism, ADD, they're all are showing us that the technology that we're living with has its consequences. So I would put it this way. To prevent chronic illness, you need to be on the good side of the ledger more than you get on the bad side. And it's not that difficult. You know, you just need to be a little bit to the right or a little bit to the correct of the midpoint. It doesn't have to be that you live your life in complete ascetic purity and never do anything that's fun or never listen to a phone call on your cell phone or any such thing. You just need to stack your reality in such a way that you have more of the right than of the wrong. But unfortunately, if you look around, you see that the modern society, on the whole, is heading in the wrong direction.
I just noticed something in the news the other day about obesity in North America and how much it's increased. It's just absolutely astounding.
Yes. I would say it this way. I think too many calories is the biggest, absolutely biggest danger that we have. And this relates back to the metabolic type. Grain or carbohydrate is not on any of the lists. It doesn't fit, you know. And there actually is no daily minimum requirement for calories. Or I should say, there's no minimum daily requirement for carbohydrates. And yet, that is the most common source of calories in the modern society.
Right. So both metabolic types that you've talked about don't have a requirement for grains.
Not really. No, the grains are... well, if you're a meat eater, or supposed to be, you know, protein and fat eating, you know, like that typically is the original hunter-gatherer body type. When would you possibly eat the carbohydrates when you're supposed to eat meals that are properly food combined? Not possible. You know, like you're eating proteins every meal, so there's no room for carbohydrates in them. And yet that's what's going on right now. And it's especially visible in the First Nations, you know, like Eskimo or Native American. You notice that they are suffering from horrendous rates of diabetes and on obesity. That's the most visible statistic. And that's
right. And their, when you look at their traditional diet, it's incredibly high in fat.
Right. Yeah. The Eskimo would be living on fish or seal or whale, and the Native American would probably be hunting either buffalo or deer or something like that, right? So I think the government is actually creating this problem because they are hugely subsidizing all the grain production. Soy, wheat, corn are the three most subsidized agriculture products. So and they're also the cheapest and easiest to store. Like when you go into a grocery store, if you're on a budget, the easiest calories you can get are the grains. But that's the food that's going to make you the most fat, overweight.
Right. So how can you help me and other people?
I cannot physically stop you from eating the wrong foods or causing yourself harm. That's, you know, you'd have to take care of that. But what I can help you with other aspects. I can help you with all the other things you need to do. Calories is what you need to get out of your diet. What you need to get into your diet are high nutrient density foods, mineral supplements, fermented foods, and you need to detoxify. And of course, you need encouragement. So, you know, in my professional life, I work as a health coach. I'm in charge at Life Enthusiast Co-op, and I counsel with people every day, helping them get on the right track, discover the products that will fit into their lifestyle, that will help them fix the problems, to understand what metabolic type they are and how to behave on the nutritional or exercise side of their lives to stay healthy or become healthy. In fact, we have actually prepared some information for people to, after this call, to come and join and take a look at some information, right?
That's right.
Could you please put that forward?
Pardon me?
Could you please share that with the callers here?
Sure. If you go to life-enthusiast.com/teleclass. We put together a 10-part e-course for you on digestive disorders.
Right. Yeah. I remember I wrote those newsletters some time ago and I reviewed them just recently. They essentially go over the main points of the chronic disease, how it rises and how it can be reversed. And I remember we actually put together a couple of special promotional items for people that they can help themselves immediately if they have a need.
I was going to ask you, Martin, what happens when you blend organic Canadian hemp nut protein, amino acids, and probiotics?
Well, most people are deficient in protein and overabundant in carbohydrate. So when you're looking for a quick fix, quick meal, something that would be an instant breakfast or instant lunch or some sort of a meal that would put you on the right track, you need to put it together from a lot of nutrients, from food that's nutrient rich but calorie poor. So the question that you put forward, what would happen, is you end up with a superfood blend that's going to give you loads of energy at the same time as it's going to wake up your metabolic system and cause it to start burning fat for calories instead of burning carbohydrates for calories, which then would cause you to have cravings. I mean, the most common manifestation, of the metabolic system going off the rails is cravings in the evening. You know, when you know that by 8 o'clock you're hunting for a bag of chips or a piece of cake or, I don't know, find your standard, what shall we call it, comfort food.
So what you're saying is that this is not something that has to be, it's not a necessary part of living life. We can do something different and have a different result?
Precisely. That's exactly what I'm saying. If you eat nutrient-rich meals, you do not have cravings. And one other important is the, I mentioned it, it might have not sunk in, fermented or cultured foods. These are the sources of all the beneficial bacteria that need to proliferate in your intestine. If you don't have enough of those, you're not manufacturing enough vitamins like vitamin B and K, and your overall ecology of the body is suffering. So that's what you mentioned. What happens when you add all these beautiful bacteria in with the food? Well, they start consuming all the leftovers that are remaining in your gut, and they grab onto some territory. They just gain a little foothold, and with every day that you keep supplementing, I don't know. I don't want to use a battle metaphor, but it's a lot like that. You know, like get a little beachhead and then start taking the whole territory. Before you know it, your entire digestive system is converted into a properly functioning bioterrain.
Wow. So that really helps with the nutrients. We talked about nutrient-dense stuff, but you also mentioned inflammation.
Right. Yeah, a very common problem is, especially for people who are currently toxic and their pH is out of balance, they need to mineralize themselves. One of the most important minerals is terribly deficient in America. 80% of the population is chronically deficient in magnesium. And the main reason, it's not in the fields. That the soils in America are simply poor in magnesium. So even though we get calcium, we do not get magnesium. And so if we do not supplement it...
Why don't we just take supplements, you know, we take vitamin C, why don't we just pop some magnesium pills?
It's possible, you can certainly do that. You know, magnesium citrate or magnesium gluconate or orotate, they're, you know, reasonable supplements. The product that we have put forward is about 10 times less expensive and has one major advantage. It's applied topically, so you can use even a high dosage without causing a bowel flush, which is what happens when you take too much magnesium. So for people who are constipated, that may be a welcome change, but if you take too much magnesium, it will definitely cause the bowel to move too fast.
you don't recommend taking a lot of magnesium supplements for that reason. It's a lot better to sit. Because the other thing you talked about was energetic or vibrational, which to me means just relaxing, and to have a hot bath and, you know, sit for 20 minutes in the magnesium pool of warm water seems to me like a good way to get some relaxation.
Exactly. In fact, we put together this package we call the Ultimate Bath, which is you take about a quarter cup of the magnesium crystals or bath crystals and a teaspoon of magnesium carbonate and teaspoons of silicates. When you mix it all in the tub, you get well-structured water with the carbonate helps to prevent reabsorption of toxins. So your body will start getting rid of toxins in the bath and will absorb the magnesium chloride in the body, and so you will relax beautifully. This is especially wonderful just before bedtime because it's well, it's exceedingly relaxing. So people who find it difficult to fall asleep and stay asleep, they will notice phenomenal shifts in their well-being very quickly with this magnesium bath routine. I wonder, we have 10 minutes left in the hour that we've scheduled for this call. Perhaps we could unmute the call and allow people to ask a question if they want.
Sounds like a great idea.
Okay, I'm going to do just that, but please remember there are several hundred people online, so let's not have everybody shout at the same time. So here we are.
Repeat the magnesium bath.
Repeat, please. Please repeat the question.
Could you repeat what's in the ultimate bath?
Oh, please visit at the website. It's life-enthusiast.com/teleclass. You will see. Teleclass.
life-enthusiast.com/teleclass.
I'll spell it out. TELECLASS.
And enthusiast is FIAST?
Yes. So the question, what's in that ultimate bath? We have magnesium chloride, we have magnesium carbonate, and silicate. Silicates as in mica. So the silicates serve to structure the water correctly. The carbonates help to prevent the its absorption of toxins. And the magnesium chloride that helps the body to restore the mineral balance that it needs.
Again, this is Joan. I just want to let you know that the add to carts don't work on your site. But under the teleclass.
Did you say
click on learn more about protein or learn more about magnesium? It'll take you to the cart. We're just fixing the advertising button.
Yeah, we'll have it fixed in just a moment. Please come back in another hour or so, and it'll be working again.
If you don't want to wait, there's a link that says Zoetine right underneath the Add to Cart button, and also just one that's magnesium just above it. And that'll take you to some more information, and you can also add it to your cart there.
All right.
But thank you. Thank you for the comment. Okay, is there anyone else with any questions?
Yes, I have a question.
Hi.
When you were talking about taking the glucose and the cream of tartar, I was wondering how long should that be in your system as far as testing your urine? It's like it's right after you take it.
Yes.
You have to wait 24 hours?
No. The next time you go.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just, you know, within half an hour type of thing.
Within a half an hour. Perfect.
Yeah, you know, just
the next... And what are you looking for in your urine?
Well, you would be just measuring the pH. which is, you know, for that you would have to have a PH paper. If you need to find one, we have that available on the Life Enthusiast website as well. Just look for the PH paper. You can search for that. Or look under products under pH balancing.
When do you add the tartar and the dextrose to much water?
I would say 8-ounce glass, you know, just enough that's comfortable to drink. It's going to be sweet.
Thank you.
And you said 40 grams of glucose, and how many grams of cream of tartar, please?
Five. 5 grams of cream of tartar.
Five?
Okay.
You said four.
Thank you.
And then how do you tell which type you are?
Well, if you are going to feel better from this dose of sweetness, then you should be the fruit and vegetable type. If it's going to make you feel less well, that means you'll be short of breath, your heart rate will go up, your urine will go acidic, then you're going to be the meat eater, meat and protein, or protein and fat, I should say. You could be a vegetarian. Sorry?
Do you include the carbo mix and protein type that's in the usual metabolic typing? Do you use that?
I wasn't quite clear in what you said. Do I include carbo?
In metabolic typing, in the books that I've read about it, has a carbo type. It has a mixed, a protein type, a carbo type, and a mixed type.
Right.
Do you use that, or you just go straight to the oxidative?
Well, you know, if you are a mixed type, which most blood type Bs and ABs are the mixed, then you could be eating like a vegetarian one day and protein and fat another day, and you'll be doing fine, but you should still do the food combining, keeping proteins and carbohydrates separate.
So that's interesting. You're saying type A could be both for both sides. You know, I have one son that's vegetarian,
mm-hmm.
and I have one son that's a protein eater.
Right.
And, you know, no carbs or anything. He's into bodybuilding.
Uh-huh.
And I've done cleansing, and I've done my juicing, and I've had a lot of energy. And, you know, he's getting me to eat more protein, and I feel like I'm more hungry if I eat protein. So, but I do understand the difference of food combining as well, too, for your energy level.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Thanks for the comment. It makes sense. Okay, folks. Anybody else wants to pipe up and say something?
I have a question. What about eating like hamburgers that combines proteins with carbs? That's totally bad for you, right?
Well, if I go to Wendy's, I would be ordering a hamburger and a salad, and I would throw away the bun. Or I would order the salad, and I would order a baked potato with it. That's the two different choices in a properly combined meal. So, yes, a hamburger is a bad idea. And, of course, the buns that they serve with it are pretty useless. I don't think they're worth eating anyway.
People with low blood sugar, hypoglycemia,
right?
Type of oxidizers, and I...
Well, hypoglycemia is most likely caused by having too many carbs in your diet and your body burning carbs for calories instead of burning fats and proteins for calories. So more likely than not, you need to eat more proteins and less on the fruits and veggies. And I would be inclined to think that you need to look at the body ecology diet, which will include fermented and cultured foods, you know, it's that sort of thing. A lot of diabetics are told by the mainstream to eat a lot of carbs to sort of stop the swings, but I think it's actually making it worse. I believe that they should be eating more fiber and fewer carbohydrates.
Well,
You kind of remind me, Martin, of a friend of mine who, when he found out he had diabetes, said, okay, I need to eat healthy. And so we started eating oranges and was wondering why it was getting worse. And, of course, he was eating just way too much sugar in the orange.
Right. And especially if he was the protein and fat type, he would be putting himself into a horrendous acidic condition. So, again, to, you know, the hypoglycemia, I would have to, you know, talk to you about high nutrient density foods. That's what you need to focus on. You know, I'd be recommending things like chlorella and spirulina and other superfood blends in shakes, probably combined with maybe blueberries or other berries, and we'd be looking at perhaps decent lunches that would be a salad with probably some protein, more likely than not. You know, things like that.
Why do they have to shoot the babies?
Sorry?
I had a question about when you were saying about moving the lymph system. Is swimming a good method for doing that at all?
It's good because you move your limbs, but it's not as effective as bouncing on a mini trampoline would be, because when you're swimming in water, you're practically not moving against gravity. So it's similar to the kind of movement you get from sitting on a bicycle or an elliptical. You know, the best type of...
off the diving board, you'd be getting some movement.
On impact, when you... No, only on impact when you hit the water. No, I would say...
Trampoline is really, really beneficial for movement.
I would say so. I would say it's one of the best inventions ever.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, folks?
Can you do the same test, the glucose charter, on children?
Yes, you can. Just don't feed them as much. You know, scale it down. This was for like 150 pounds of body weight, so just give them appropriate size.
And you said dextrose is available in the supermarket?
Yes, it is. Yeah, dextrose powder. Yeah, look for it.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
If you have type A, type O blood,
yes.
Does that indicate any particular metabolic type?
Most commonly, it's the protein and fat type. Most commonly, the type O's don't do very well at all on grains, like bread, pasta, pizza, all of that. That usually does them badly, and they usually thrive on steak and salad kind of diet.
Oh, okay.
There's a great book out there by Dr. Peter DiAdamo, Eating for Your Blood Type, where a lot of this is explained. Yeah, go ahead.
I am a protein type. I understand avoiding carbs like grains and, you know, rice and wheat and whatnot, but should I still not have fruits and vegetables with the meat and the nuts and that kind of thing?
Uh-huh. Great question. That you will find all of these answers in the health education section of the Life Enthusiast website.
Okay.
And I would say it this way. Fruit should be eaten by itself, not in combination with other things, before meals. So, especially in the morning, no problem. You know, start your day with a grapefruit and graduate to berries and move on to apples or whatever. And then at lunch, you know, go for a protein meal like the steak and salad or fish and salad or stir fry with meat, that sort of thing. And then, you know, repeat in the evening.
A quick question.
Yeah.
What would be a balanced meal, and how far between eating carbs and protein should you wait?
Typically, a meal with protein, or a properly combined meal, usually is digested in 3 hours. So that's about the you know, the wait time. And if it's a smaller meal, then 2.5 hours. So if you have a breakfast that's all fruit, you can just keep on eating. You know, you can eat it. Fruit's done in 20 minutes. If you do a lunch that's well combined, you can eat again at 3 or 4 o'clock. Okay.
So the author's name for the book you just mentioned, Eating for Your Blood Type?
First name Peter, last name D, apostrophe Adam O, like Adam with an O on the end.
It's pronounced Diadamo.
Yes, something like that. And another great book, if you're looking for books to consider, is Donna Gates' Body Ecology Diet. She really explains things well.
That was Body Ecology.
What's that one for, please?
Donna Gates, like Bill Gates, except Donna. And Body Ecology Diet.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Okay, folks, anybody else? Okay, we're going to be closing it up. Thank you very much for coming to this presentation, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. Sign up for the education class. The emails come one a week for 10 weeks, and thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Bye-bye now.